Welcome to the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world, sharing stories, depth, insights into those who have discovered human design, especially reflectors. Today, I am joined by someone who embodies what it means to live a really wide open life. Please welcome Veronica. She is a 3-6 reflector. She's a stroke survivor, a neuroscience coach in training, and a deep space holder for personal power. While her chart is white, as only a reflector's is, please don't be fooled. If anything, it's less than empty. She has 4 completely open centers and also 5 activations in gate 54. She's the left angle cross of the Sphinx. And her life, which we're going to get into today, is full of transformation, guidance, and radical truth. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome, beautiful human.
Oh, thank you, Annie. Oh my God, my heart is on fire right now. That felt so like a warm hug, all of this. It's not often that I hear it in one go. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'd love to just share with our audience that you're currently residing in the UK, but you're here in Australia right now.
Yes, I am. I live between, like, I actually live mainly in Warsaw, in my hometown. And I do pop back to London a lot, where I spent nearly 10 years. And at the moment, yes, I am in Australia. It's actually been, yesterday, it's been 2 months. And my trip is just about to come to an end. I'm flying the day after tomorrow. So yeah, we're meeting at a very interesting time for me.
And we've had sort of like chats on and off. We've always wanted to sit and share space. And I'm just so very grateful that we are doing this now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The last time we tried to schedule that, I was in Thailand, I believe. And oh my goodness, reflectors with my incarnation cross are gonna know that because Jinky One or Gate One are very tricky with the entropy things. And I was in my deep entropy phase. I was just like so uncreative, and it obviously brings on the beauty afterwards. It's incredible, but then, oh my goodness, I felt like I also didn't agree with the place. Disappointment, right, for us. Like, I felt quite disappointed. And I just had to reschedule. And obviously, you're the most understanding, beautiful human in terms of just like people's timing and sort of respecting that. So the time will come. Yeah. And then I felt I should message you in early May when it was like already 2 weeks into my trip here. But I did remember you guys had this conference. And then you shared with us that you're traveling to Peru after your conference. I was like, this is not the right time for Annie. The right time will come for Annie. So there we are here after your conference, after your trip, where you've also had some of your own, like transformations of your own.
Yeah. And traveling does that, doesn't it? It really just expands us to ourselves.
Absolutely. It's like a journey home, you know, yeah. Like home, like really. It's just so funny how it happens away from home sometimes, like the physical home, right?
What I love, excuse me, I have just those listening, I have a little bit of a head cold. That's that post-traveling thing when you're around lots of people in airports. But your chart is, everyone's chart is so unique and interesting, but I always get excited when I see people's charts for the first time. Now, I always knew that you were a 3-6, which is quite, you know, rarish in itself, 6-3s and 3-6s. You know, you guys, you know, there's a lot going on there. But to have those 4 open centers, I just go, wow, there's such a concentration to your chart. And it's so beautiful to see. And just like, wow, this human, this person who sits here, you know, in front of me right now, it's like, wow, the stories.
Oh boy, do I have a lot of stories.
But, you know, before we go in that, can I can I lovingly invite you in to just take us back a little bit and share how you found human design or human design found you?
Yeah, of course. So I've been in my experiment for about 4 years, 3.5 years, I say. And about 4 years ago, it was probably just after my Saturn return, I would say, because I was 29 and a half. And I felt like a lot has changed in my life, a lot in terms of how, what I value, what I accept in myself, in others. And there just, it's been, a whole new chapter that opened in my consciousness. And as it happens, usually, you know, the things that show up, it's the divine timing and all that. So I've been introduced to human design. Then it was actually probably a couple of weeks after, just before I embarked on like this beautiful, amazing 6 month, almost with one break, journey to the US. And the first time I heard, it is a tricky subject to read that, oh, you're the 1%, and you know, like this and that. And it feels like a lot of us feel definitely like we connect with it. Something's like a light bulb pops up and we are like, goodness, that really is something that resonates. Like, I am a bit of an alien, like energetically, spiritually. A lot of people get triggered in my presence, some of them positively, because they are somewhere in their journey where they can recognize that trigger and take it on as a sort of lesson or a bit of a push, you know, for them. But others, they get triggered quite badly. And then they, you know, I as a reflector, like amplify that, you know, all the drama and all this, as we tend to do sometimes. And then, you know, you read all that and the receptiveness and the mirroring and all this. And it can really sometimes make you feel even more confused. Like at this, it's a difficult thing to explain and pinpoint, but I felt like hugged on one hand, like, wow. But on the other hand, I did feel at that point in my journey, a little rebellious towards it, because I was like, what do you mean by no definition? What, like, I have so much definition. I have so much to say and so much to, you know, I love empowering all this. And I'm like, what is this like no definition? Because I took it all like cover, you know, like cover words, right? I didn't really read into it that much. And then a couple months passed. I was in the States. Then I came back to London. Then I had like on my personal life kind of got thrown upside down, because I had I broke up with my ex-partner of 6, 7 years. And as it happens usually, right, this kind of like a bomb that happens in your personal life, you seek comfort from the outside. And I did remember that there was like this hug element of feeling comforted I felt with human design. And I went back to it, kind of trying to challenge the trigger parts of it.
Yeah.
So I did go back and I didn't take it just on the surface anymore. I dug a little deeper. I dug a little deeper into what it means to have a lunar authority and the ambiguity behind that phrase, as we know, because what the hell does that even mean, right? Bloody hell. And then I sort of started expanding that into what often people call the natural expansion of human design, so like the gene keys. And then I started talking to a couple of friends who are getting certified in hypnotherapy. a little bit of a side story, open throat as well. As you will realize, I have an open throat, so my side stories enter my main story at any point. We never know. But
Okay,
the
because I've
sides.
got a completely open head. It's exactly the same. So you talk, I'll just, I get it. Go
Oh,
on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
no, I
Totally
love
get it.
also, I totally love interruptions because I know I do that. And there are people who also get triggered by interruptions. And there are others who like love it, who are like, give me more because you're giving me exactly what I need to hear at this moment, right? But yeah, my side story was going to be my move to Dublin because I got offered a role at Google. And I was at that point in my career that is probably the corporate side of it is definitely taking either a very long pause or a natural death. Because I'm not a corporate person, but at that, I was just turned like I just turned 30, this massive personal, life upside down moment. Who is going to say no to Google? So obviously, I didn't say no. I also didn't visit Dublin before I agreed to get transferred to Dublin, and that's the free in my profile, which I hands down recognize. Yeah, I'm gonna move somewhere I've never been. Gosh, that was a mistake because Dublin didn't agree with me at all. The Google experience was incredible in terms of professional personal growth, but a really difficult experience when it came to my neurological health. Because at that point, well, now it's been 15 years since my stroke, my brain bleed. But at that point, so 3 years ago, it was, 12 years. And for 12 years, I had moments where it was worse and then moments where it was better, like just different phases. But it never got as bad as it did in 2022, 2023, really, in Dublin. And it again made me put a lot of things in perspective just when I did pretty much a year previously. So when I was 29, 30, 31, there was just so much going on. And I'm sure it's going to continue in different. I'm going to in 10 years be, saying that at 33, I had something, and at 40, I had this huge revel. I'm sure because it's this beautiful journey we're on. But in my sort of 3, 6 profile, also journey, I did massively recognize, and it resonated with me a lot when I heard that life is divided into those 3 phases for the 6 profile, right? So yeah, I felt it. It was something that empowered me also, because I didn't have to over explain myself of wanting to disengage from a lot of things that before I would never even consider disengaging from. Because why on earth would I like not want to be a part of that society or take a step away from that friendship? Or like I have a right to take my time, and whether it's a month, a year, like it's my right to prioritize my health, right? Especially as a stroke survivor. But Annie, it took me getting epileptic episodes where I was just in complete sort of physical confusion about what's happening because I haven't had those before, plus a lot of emotional pain that went into it because it tied with like being heavily depressed in Dublin. It took that for me to stop self-abandoning Annie. It was massive. It was massive. And then I sort of vouched to myself that I'm just gonna do my best not to self-abandon. Because that's what many of us do, especially the people with an open, fully open heart. It's a tricky. I love talking to people about the open heart energy center because it's a very tricky one to have. I have, because of the no activations, no gates there, I sort of don't have a filter. And I've spoken to people who resonate with what I'm going to say. What we experience often is such levels of self-abandonment and prioritizing others' needs above our own, just to feel seen and to feel like we're worth it, because that internal worth, it doesn't naturally come. It's a learned thing. It really is a learned process. And boy, is it difficult. But we don't, and then I always lose my thought. I don't know what, like, I don't remember the gates I have in my head. I have one or two, but my chain, of thought, like sometimes the thoughts just get lost. And but I remember I was talking about the heart energy center, right? I know. The self-abandonment that we do, and then like the sort of like raising your hand all the time in life, see me, love me, I'm worth it. That can very often change drastically when we are so hurt by our own self-abandonment. It can change into being very selfish and very unfair for a short period of time, at least for me, because I'm just so bloody done with self-abandonment that I just go from the North Pole to the South Pole. So there you go. I don't know, like, what is your experience of it?
I love this, and thank you so very much for sharing that, because it's, we were just talking off air about our trips, and this expression and this self-abandonment is definitely something that's shown up for me time and time again. Now I have two gate activations in my will center, but I've got a completely open G. So for me, everything you were sharing there is all about that. Who am I? It's a constant thing of going, well, if I'm this now, I can be perceived as being something. And it's this, it's trying to constantly attach to things that are never mine to attach to. So I love that perspective on the will center of the heart center of that, that feeling also of just, how much can we, and that's, I want to say reflective, but I think it's a huge part of life for us all, isn't it? We self abandon ourselves because we feel that somebody else has got something else that we need, instead of actually us really going, well, what do I need?
Absolutely. It's this constant, which constant need for validation from the outside, right? It is probably like one of the biggest struggles that I would say I see around. And I don't know if it's because I pick up on it because of my journey, or it's just we all struggle with it, right?
I often, and it was something that, I've known or felt for an extensive period of time, but I guess it's when you take time away from other people, things come up to the surface a little bit more. And I feel that when we're empaths, highly sensitive people, reflectors, people who are kind of like, we're always kind of, even as babies and children, very much aware of what was happening in the periphery. So we're always ejecting out. We've always self-abandoned because we're highly aware of what's happening around us. And so
Absolutely.
it's a really hard thing to learn how to anchor into oneself after being so conditioned to be like, what's happening? What's going on? Who's doing that? What's that? And it's not necessarily adrenaline like that, but it's always there. Do you find that? Always.
I resonate so much. I just it oh God, together with my open spleen, because that you mentioned the word alert, and fully open spleen makes me so alert to other people's anxieties and fears and fully open emotional center. Solar plexus makes me alert to their mood swings, and it is I don't think in my lifetime I'm ever going to meet a neurologist or a neurosurgeon who is as spiritual as I am. But I often sometimes in my little world explain that level of the work, brain work that I have going on. That is like I often explain that intensity with being tied to why I possibly could have had a brain bleed. Because like there's obviously a million sort of Western medicine explanations, but in my case, they never explained it ever. I was first like there was like a AVM, which is atrial malformation diagnosis, then another one, then another one, blood thinners or something, and in the end, they never said what it is. And at the back of my head, especially in the last 2, 3 years, I've always felt like it's because my brain just works really hard. That's why it happened.
Yeah. And you would have been roughly 15 when this all was happening to you.
It's I was just 18. I just
All
turned
right.
18. Yeah.
And that's a huge shift in a young girl's life, like it's in a young person's life. But do you and just hearing what you were saying, and apologies for asking this, but you know, that Dublin experience as well of how these things started to exacerbate again. Have you kind of like looked at it in hindsight? Hindsight's funny, isn't it? And just you've seen a pattern of how something dysregulated, as you were saying, your brain works really, really fast, really hard. Taking those times back to go, what was happening for you? And was it a build up? Because I don't want to share your story without you, but we were talking off air about, you know, in your environment, you were raised by emotional.
Oh yeah, oh absolutely. I'm very comfortable sharing that part of my story, and I would love to with the podcast audience. So, I was raised in a family of just manifesting generators. My beautiful, powerful mom is a manifesting generator with an emotional authority. My sister, younger sister, is an emotional authority manifesting generator as well. And what I've learned recently is that my dad, who I lost when I was 10, also was a manifesting generator with emotional authority. And that, oh goodness, that made me honestly, when I did like learned that even my dad was a manifesting generator, that sort of explain that like completed a loop of me being lost and always feeling misunderstood in my family. It just completed it because I thought the trauma that my family went through, first with losing my dad, and my mom is in like one of the most, I know a lot of people say that, but my mom is one of the most incredible moms out there because she, not only as a widow with 2 kids, managed to like expand the business that she first set up with my dad and make it even better, bigger, and more successful, but she lives for my sister and myself, probably. To a slightly unhealthy, I guess. So I'm not a psychotherapist, but I would probably say to a slightly unhealthy amount. And for me, it is probably easier to digest now at 33 than it was at 20 something, especially because I had a stroke as her 18-year-old daughter. So that sort of control element just increased for a decade at least, of calling like whatever times a day many, but I don't like I also see like as we mature we probably understand like our parents more, and we also no one is perfect, absolutely. The person who thinks they're perfect should throw the first rock and all this, right? But at the same time there are things that at least I find in Generation X that they are just unwilling to work on, because they absorb that from their baby boomer parents who just were so happily abandoning anything that didn't sound positive. And it's like a whole new podcast topic, probably, but learning about their human design, just on even like the surface level of them all having emotional authority and being many gens, made me finally stop at this constant battle of validation and understanding that I was seeking from them, because I am just not going to get it. And they might be giving it to me, this understanding and compassion, in their own ways. But the way I give people compassion and understanding, it's just from a different planet. So I cannot expect the same thing, right? And it's human design was the tool, and hypnotherapy a lot, but human design was the tool that made me really come to terms with it. That, like, Veronica, you're just not going to be as understood in your family, like your blood, home tree family. You seek your own little understanding family.
They we talk a lot about that. It's just in the word expectation. It's like once we can stop expecting others to meet us where we are, it's like a freedom. It's like, wow, you just be you. But as soon as we start expecting people to behave and be like us, there's instant disappointment right there because they're never going to do it. So I love that for
Oh,
you. Never. Yeah.
absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's this, and also disappointment being our not self theme. We can really get deep into the victim mode reflectors. And I feel like I have my, and also shout out to my beautiful, lovely 10, 12 now, 12 reflectors. We formed this, well, I guess a sort of support circle, I should call it. About 2 years ago, I reached out to a few of them on Instagram that I felt like there's a flow, right? That there is this understanding going on. And honestly, it's been, in terms of getting like not just compassion, because that's not what we seek. We don't go around and seek compassion and belonging only, but getting like insights and advice and being heard. I have not yet in my life met people who see me and validate me from a very healthy place, like my 12 reflectors. So I love you all.
Oh, I love that. I love that because we really do understand one another. We really do. And there's no fixing, is there? It's just
No.
being seen.
No, there isn't. And like you said, we are all different in our charts are different, our childhood experiences are different, our current circumstances in life may be different. Some people have kids, they struggle with that. I don't have kids, so I don't relate. But it doesn't make me not dig way deeper than sometimes other people do into putting myself in other person's shoes, right? And that is like, I love that in like my little community. I just love it. And there is another girl, Leticia. She's French, and I love her so much as well. She has also four fully open centers, and she's the only human, like human. like I always joke that there are animals who have fully open centers, and that's why I love animals. But there is not many of us that are reflectors with four fully open centers, and that is a struggle of its own. And this is, it's beautiful to find someone in the universe who has it. And it's just like such a growth like moment, and just full of heart moment, you know?
And also the 3-6 or the 6-3 profile. I've always had this deep respect for the sixth line. The
Right.
journey that the sixth line goes through. But it wasn't until even only a couple of years ago that I started to look within my own. Now I'm a 5-1, but Holy dooly, you should see the third lines in my chart. And
Yeah.
being able to give myself this permission to fuck around and find out,
Yep,
it's
that's what
literally,
it
it is. And finally, when I accepted it and I stopped trying to be like first line perfect, it was like everything just sort of started to naturally happen. So I now have even more respect for a six line, but a 3-6, that double three that walks through life of just going, it's a beautiful thing to surrender into, but I can also
Oh, yeah.
imagine how, and these are just my words, but I could imagine how often it can be like, well, this is just me. This is just how I work. But for other people, it'd be like, why do you keep making mistakes? I don't know if you experienced that. Would you mind
Oh
sharing?
goodness. Of course, I experienced it, and of course I don't mind sharing. But just a tiny side note at the beginning. So in that little circle I have, we have Melanie, who's based in Oregon. She's my like human design twinsie. She's also a 3-6 reflector, and she's a Taurus astrological main sign. And we have a 3-6 Julia, who is in Barcelona right now. And we like there's the like I can feel the connectedness with the 3-6 and the 6-3 so much, I need to say. Like it is. There is just this, like you say, this permission element, and also that, like, the judgment, the self-judgment for me for letting myself experiment. I can feel I got rid of it way earlier than other people. So yeah, coming back to your question, it is something that, I mean, I'm gonna just shout about it till the day I die, I think. But giving yourself permission to be your own authority or like guru is something we struggle with so much. And I feel, oh, like it gives me a headache, Annie, sometimes, because there is this constant need for the next whatever retreat that I'm gonna do, for the next book, self-help book and all that, or for the next course I'm gonna sign up to and lock myself to a 3 months or 12 months, whatever, because I am just like so keen to have someone tell me what to do. Well, no one's gonna freaking tell you what to do. They can tell you their story, but no one's gonna fix you for you. And people just don't get that, you know? And it is like, it is something that, in my opinion, blocks people from actually healing more than other things. Just that taking responsibility, or, you know, like that kind of vibration, just being like, it is me. I'm gonna do that, because blaming it on my parents and my employer and blah, 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 like, you know, it's not your employer's fault and it's not your parents' fault. It is, they contributed to your situation, but it's your role to fix it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a really interesting thing. Most third lines that I know, they're very magnetic. And I believe they're magnetic is because we often, going back to what we were talking about, self-abandoning or pitting ourselves against others, third lines, when they're in their truth, will just do shit. And it's so magnetic because it's like it gives then us permission to go, it's okay to make mistakes. And they're not mistakes, they're just
Absolutely.
learning moments. And
Absolutely.
there's this magnetism about it. I just love it. I love watching third lines just third line their way through life. Again,
Oh, I also love it. And they don't need to be reflectors, right? They can, and
no.
any type, just
Yes.
third lines. Like
Yeah.
I one of my favorite, and I imagine you, for you it's gonna be similar. One of my favorite energies to absorb is a pure generator in their joy, you know? It is just I love pure generators in their joy. It is when they're in their frustration, okay, it's a bit difficult, you know, but no one's perfect again. And it is probably way easier now after a couple of years to put that Teflon on and be like, it's not me. Go out for a walk, talk to a squirrel, you know, all that.
Koala.
And a koala, in your case, koala, in my case, squirrel, and just kind of come back to myself. But it used to really make me feel just taken on a wild roller coaster, Annie, to first get so much joy and then get so much anger and so much frustration, and none of it was mine. And any reflector is going to like sort of resonate with this. Because before you start pinpointing what is yours and not yours, years of work, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a tough one, but it's so joyful sometimes at the end of it, or at the middle. I'm probably just at the beginning, but I think like, oh yeah, I've done so much. And I'm just curious, like if I listen to this in 30 years, if I get to, if I'm still here, I'm just so curious what I'm gonna
You'll sound
think.
so wise. You know, it's when we talk about the reflector experience, you know, we've touched on it a little bit there about, you know, this Waiter lunar cycle, and I laughed with you earlier because it's like, what the heck does that even mean? But we do know essentially it means slowing down. But I guess, again, my words here, but for a third line experience where it needs to find out, how is that? How does that kind of, you know, you're like, oh, you want me to wait to seek clarity, but I also need to be immersed in it, to experience it, to know that it's not correct for me, to know that it's right. So it's like, in a way, that's always been a little bit of a contradiction for me. When we
I
look
see.
at it just from paper, much more to it than that. But when we look at it on paper, a third line experience is about, well, I need to meet this where it's at, and in and out and in and out. I guess the decision isn't being made, but it's experimenting. It's like playing with it. It's mashing it up and putting it down. Have you found
absolutely.
In that process for you that you can wait a little now, or is it very much you have to be in the immersion of it?
Oh, absolutely. I've become way better at waiting. Two elements to that. I think one is just tapping into the whole ideology of the divine timing. Like, it really freaking exists. Like, just let the magic come to you, show up, the light bulb will come up, you know, it will be divine. If you push, like this bull, and I'm also like a Taurus, I'm so freaking stubborn, you know, in my ways. And that paired with the free line, oh God, and also the, you know, like the lack of, well, we all have lack of definition as reflectors in the root center, but that I never know when enough is enough anyway. And that just created like, I mean, a shitload of like situations where I was banging my head against, you know, the wall or the door or whatever it was. And it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It just was not for me. And now I give myself time. That's one. And it's way easier. It is definitely coming from a conscious place after working on the unconscious, like the subconscious wound that didn't allow the conscious to happen, right? And then also just, I think the environment, that's another thing for us. Like I pick my environment way more carefully, like, because we do have to be careful in a way. Like, I'm sorry to say, but I don't mean to like make us like some fragile egg, you know, shells, but we are really receptive, right?
And that's a lived experience, isn't it? When we know we can become everything around us, and it's
absolutely,
when we open.
Absolutely.
I feel that's an interesting point, because when we really open, and when we kind of, I'm air quoting the surrender, but it's just like we open. There's, unless we're kind of anchored into our knowingness and who we are, those environments will take us on a ride, and all of a sudden we're like, what? Who am I now?
Yeah.
What?
Like, where am I? It's like this. It's like this. What movie is it? The Hangover, where he wakes up on the roof. Oh, this is lit after a crazy night. With the tire and all this. This is literally hands down my experience from Dublin. I was taking a wild, wild ride. Coming from a very sort of marketing, creative branding background to a data and measurement team for my brain, all the knowledge of more data, less creativity, more data. That's one. And then working with all the generators that flood the corporations because they can, right? They can wake up and be the same every day. My consistency is just like back there, a kilometer behind them, So it is just hilarious. And it is, I can laugh at it now because it's been enough time has passed and my perspective is also different at it. But it was wild, like the roller coaster ride and the Hangover movie is probably the great metaphor for my experience in
Love
Dublin.
it. I love it. I'm gonna go watch that again now. I'll be thinking of you. I'll be like, yep, that's a 6-3 experience right there. I
Yeah,
love it.
that's
What's
funny.
ahead for you now, Veronica?
All right. Oh my God, Annie, I love that question. As much as we
I'm like,
don't
oh, I
like.
just put you on the spot there. And I'm like, well, first things first, Annie, is I'm getting on a plane. That's
Yeah,
it.
first things first, I'm coming back to Europe. I am really excited about this neuroscience coaching I've started. Because I feel like naturally I am someone who, because of my health history, has been extremely interested in the brain on the scientific side of it, but mainly for the actually the little tips and nibbles of knowledge I can take from the science to daily life, right? So I've naturally for the last 15 years of my life since my stroke was interested in it. Did I follow the rules at the beginning? Probably not, because I just got like any person in a chronic illness situation where they get a little better, they get a little crazy celebrating that they're better, and they forego the sort of strict health regime. But then I sort of realized that this is the only way forward for me is to actually stick to it because our brains are like our best friends in the body together, with the gut. Like that is like, we really should know more about the gut than we know. We should know more about the brain. But for some reason, we're more interested in the Kardashians. So as a society, I'm not going to fix the society, right? But I can fix the people who want to be fixed in a way. So I'm very excited about the coaching element of it, but there is a lot of unknowns in my life right now, as I'm sure many people who were in a place where they were blowing through their savings, they relate, how long can that last and all this. But the element of me unwilling to go back to the corporate life in the form I was there previously, it's quite stand like it has a stance. Like I can feel there is a part of me that just is not going to be taken on that wild route, wild roller coaster again. If it becomes a more mellow or like I can feel like it's going to be part time or something, who knows? But all in all, it's health comes first, and I love spreading the message of health comes first because people lose the perspective. They do lose because we meet the same people at work every day. They have the same problems, right? We have probably not the same, but in the same kind of sphere. They're not people who are homeless, or they're not people who, I don't know, just kind of had to fight the civil war in their country, right? Like we don't meet them at work. We meet the people who have mortgage problems and like destroyed their car in an accident and their kid is annoying. That's who we meet at work. So I kind of want to a little bit changed the vibration of perspectives in people's lives. Like, I want to make them aware that it's all about perspective. And putting health first is definitely something that is big, and we tend to lose that perspective the fastest. So, yeah.
Well, what a gift you are to the world. I'm grateful
Oh,
for you for being here, for
I'm so
fighting for
grateful.
yourself and also stepping into your passion and power in this space. It's really exciting to hear. So thank you for sharing that with me because I'm extremely excited for you in this next, you know. As we were saying, I don't know if we got recorded, but life's it just keeps evolving. We keep getting surprised by our own damn selves because we're pretty freaking amazing when we stop and listen to ourselves, you know?
We are, and oh my God, I want people to remember that from that podcast, from that episode. I want them to remember we are amazing when we listen to ourselves and our inner guidance. Because when we tap into that, magic happens.
Magic.
With all due respect to every guru out there, they can be amazing, like, sort of like direction arrows to where we're going. But we know the inner sort of side, right? The inner us, the spirit, like our higher self, we know what's best.
Oh. Well. Thank you for taking this time for sitting with me on Australian soil.
Yes.
And I'm
It's
wishing
been
you.
amazing. It's been amazing, Annie. I loved our conversation, and it just, again, great example of the divine timing, and that we didn't do it a year ago or half a year ago, but we did it now.
I would have been
It's your
beautiful to have it in person, but you know what? Can't be too
Australia
greedy,
is
right?
pretty damn big. It is pretty damn big. So, Sydney to Brisbane is definitely not Warsaw to Berlin, So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you again for sharing space with me. And I look forward to maybe reconnecting with you at some point and seeing how it all goes.
Oh, I would love that. And I look forward to seeing the new direction you're gonna take in your personal journey and your like endeavors. Yeah, I just have so much love for you, Annie.